We are coming at you coast to coast AM, live from Las Vegas. Our guest is John, for the next half hour, is John Lear. He's a retired airline captain, former CIA pilot, son of the famous inventor of the Lear jet. John has flown over 150 test aircraft. He's won every award granted by the FAA, holds 18 world speed records, and is the unofficial conspiracy correspondent for me on this program. We're going to be right back to ask John about a secret submarine base out here in the middle of the desert, as well as about Area 52, Bob Lazar, Element 115, and maybe torture planes. So don't go away. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm George Knapp, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Coast AM. I'm George Knapp, your guest host, and I'm joined by John Lear, the one and only. John, before we jump back to talking about this secret submarine base, you sent me an email over the weekend saying, hey, yeah, I'll join you for the show on Sunday, but I'm going out to my mine. What's the deal on the mine?
When I retired from flying, I had this little gold mine up at Gold Butte, Nevada, and got it. It took me about 7 years to get it going, and finally got it going, rebuilt the whole thing, and it was going there for a while. But in 2005, because there was a huge fire up there, which didn't affect my property, I forgot to file the $30 registration fee that you've got to do for a claim every year. And a few months ago, the BLM found out about it, and they said, no, you forgot to file. So you can't have your claims anymore. So it was a great operation. I spent a lot of money, but it's all over now.
Well, I don't understand. Somebody else grabbed it from you, or they're giving it up to somebody, or they just keep it?
It's just that during the time I had it, they filed what they call Area of Critical Environmental Concern, for 1 million acres that they're making in Clark County for a turtle habitat. And when it exempted my mine, but when I missed the filing, you know, for the few days that I did, the mouse trap snapped shut, and there was no way to get back. Now, I appealed to the Interior Board of Land Appeals twice, and even went to Senator Reid, and nobody could do anything about it. So, you know, life is a series of challenges, and it's not whether you win or lose, it's how you meet the challenge. So now I have to clean it up. And that's all there is to that. I'll press on and do other things.
Oh, man, that's a shame. Maybe you and I will talk off the air and see if I can help you in any way. Let's jump back to this discussion about the saucer, the submarine base. You know, I drove up to your beautiful home the other day, and you and I haven't had a face-to-face chat in a while. It's a great view of Las Vegas from where you are up in the mountain there. And we started talking about all kinds of things, and it occurred to me that I have driven by this submarine base probably 100 times, and it's always been curious to me what a submarine base is doing out in the middle of the desert, an undersea warfare center. And you stopped there to sort of take some photos, right, and got ran away?
Yeah, you know, I've been driving up there for 30 years. My folks lived up in Reno, and I go back and forth. And I've seen this there and seen the sign. And, you know, up until about 3 years ago, it was the Naval Undersea Warfare Training Center. And then they took the word training out. And, you know, secrets, it takes a long time to put a puzzle together. And what you do is you take information from here and information from there and listen to people and you read. And, you know, you're not going to find this on the Internet. You have to do it by, you know, personal contact and listen very carefully and read very carefully. And that's how I found out about it. And, you know, I did a lot of flying, and a lot of the people I flew with were ex-military, and they always give, you know, some little secret, and they don't know they really don't know they're doing it, but you put that together and say, ah, okay, I got that one. But yeah, the other day I was coming back from Reno, and I just wanted to take a picture of the sign right alongside the road. You know, it's a sign. It just says Naval Undersea Warfare Center. And I pulled over the road and pulled up my camera to the window. And just before I shot the picture, I heard a whole bunch of screaming and yelling. I looked at the little guard shack, and they're waving their arms and running over to me. So I put it in drive, and I just pulled across the road, and I said, you know, is there a problem? And there was a lady there screaming, you can't take pictures here. This is a, you know, secret base, and I could call the MPs and have your camera confiscated. And I said, well, you know, I didn't mean any harm. I mean, everybody looks at this sign. I'm not taking a picture of anything inside. There's nothing to take a picture of. She says, I don't care about that. You can't do this, and you turn right around. I said, well, do you think I could get a tour? And she said, no, you can't get a tour. So I drove off, but it seemed a lot of fuss. If I was running that base, I would certainly not do something like that. If somebody drove up, I'd say, hey, can I help you, sir? You know, we're not giving tours today, but maybe if you write us, we'll give you tours. But sure, take a picture, sign, whatever you want. Make it real low key there. Don't make a big fuss about it, because if you make a fuss about it, then somebody's going to wonder, what the heck is in there anyway?
Well, yeah, it's like Area 51, you know, the fact that everybody knew that base was out there. There'd been little newspaper articles about it for a lot of years, and it didn't really start getting interesting until they started denying that the base was out there.
Right, and you'll remember that it was 18 years ago that you released the information on Bob Lazar. And, you know, when I go on the different forums, like AboveTopSecret.com, a lot of the people, you know, they don't believe the Bob Lazar story, and when I look back, I don't blame them, because, you know, you and I lived it. We were with Bob. We knew Bob. We were in his house. We saw him leave for work. We went up and saw the flying saucers fly, you know, and it was real to us. But 18 years later, you see the story on the Internet. Hey, guy works on flying saucers for the U.S. government. They're not going to believe that.
Yeah. It's amazing how much water is under the bridge since then. We'll come back to Bob in just a second. I want to stick with the sub base for a second now. On a scale of 1 to 10, on the John Lear scale of credibility, how much do you believe, 1 being least, 10 being most?
10.
The shaft goes 1,400 feet down into it, and people get on submarines in Hawthorne and go to the Pacific Ocean.
No doubt about it. And, you know, there's many Navy facilities around the United States. I think the United States, there's a vast undersea area. I don't know how far it goes. I suspect that there's access up in Idaho to Lake Penderay, probably Coeur d'Alene, where a lot of Navy research goes. You know, I had a friend here who was in charge of the Lake Mead Naval Air Station, or Naval Air Base here, and he told me of a secret facility in Lake Tahoe. And just today I was talking with a friend. He said, oh, yeah, that is a real secret base. And he told me the story about Jacques Cousteau, who went down in the submarine in 1975 to see what was down there. And when he came up, they said, what'd you see? And he said, the world is not ready to know what I saw. You know, and that's on record. So,
well, why keep this secret? You said that there's more than one of these kinds of facilities all around the country, like Ohio and places like that, is what you told me when we chatted. But why keep this a secret? If you can get to a submarine and get to the ocean from down there, what's the big deal?
Everything's a secret, George. Everything that the military does is a secret. You know that in the last few years I've been working on our bases on the moon. We've been on the moon since 1962. We've been on Mars since 1966. We have at least 6 space stations orbiting Earth. You know, next time you watch Discovery take off, it takes off on the 23rd. Just notice the time that it takes off from Kennedy and docks with a space station. It's usually about 72 hours. Now, it doesn't take that long to go up there and dock. And what they're doing is they're stopping at the other space stations, dropping off supplies. When they get to the ISS, usually a few days before, the Russians have sent 2 Progress rockets up there, and that cargo is put back onto the U.S. space shuttle, and then when they undock, guess how long it takes them to get back to Kennedy? 72 hours. Well, you know, the trip is only 20 minutes, so they got to be doing something else, and what they're doing is they're taking those supplies that Progress brought up and going back through the line, supplying the other space stations. You know,
isn't there,
going on, and it's a secret. We'll never know about it. And I'll tell you one thing. I met the other day with an Air Force intelligence guy and my associate, Ron Schmidt. And we came up in my den. We talked for several days. And at the end of this time, I said, you know, fellas, on a scale of 0 to 100, 0 meaning we don't know anything, 100 being we know everything the government knows, where do you think we are? And our general consensus was between 0.5 and 0.7. Now, since that time, I revised the scale to 0 to 1,000, being we still know only 0.5 to 0.7. We know nothing. Now, you mentioned St. Louis. You know, there's a huge underground submarine testing center there, and I think they access that by going up the Mississippi. All these stories I'm telling you can be found on AboveTopSecret.com. The guy posted, you know, when I posted the original story on Hawthorne, he came on and said, you know, my dad worked on an underground facility that was a huge body of water there in St. Louis, and he worked on nuclear submarines.
You know, I don't have trouble believing the idea that we could have secret satellites up there or space stations. I mean, that's technically feasible. A lot of folks don't want to believe about UFOs or whatever. That is something we could do. What I don't understand is why there's no way to detect it. Shouldn't someone have access to that information to be able to say, aha, we see it up there?
No. Well, yeah, you could see the space stations. There's many photos of them filmed that a guy took in Santa Monica. I think they call him Santa Monica John, and that's not me. And he had a telescope that would track satellites, and what he did is he followed them, and they're amazing satellites. I mean, and this stuff is on, you can get it on YouTube or AboveTopSecret.com, but there's got to be at least 10 different film clips of these huge space stations, you know, orbiting Earth.
Let's go back to Bob Lazar for a second. Have you been in touch with Bob regarding the matter I mentioned earlier, the hassle he's been getting from the government about the sale of various kinds of chemicals and scientific equipment?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, on the web ATS, the story came up of the 115 and the experiment we did, and I was trying to tell him how we did it, and I forgot what we used in the bell jar for the gamma, alpha, and beta rays. And I emailed him, and he said it was thorium oxide. And also he emailed me that, I'm not sure whether it was the same CBS production, but I saw one of them that, that had a real good production on what he does and how science is falling behind. And it's really not falling behind. I mean, our secret government is so far ahead that, people just wouldn't believe what we're doing now.
Well, just to bring the listeners up to date who may not know the story, Element 115 is what Bob Lazar claimed back in 1989 is the fuel used to power flying saucers that our government somehow acquired from some other race. And Lazar had said that he had a piece of it for a time period, and he even conducted some experiments that John Lear witnessed and which I have on videotape. And one of these days I got to find that tape for you, John.
Yeah, listen, all you guys, hear what George Knapp says? He has the videotape.
that might have been a mistake, huh? But have you been in touch with Bob about the legal difficulties he's undergoing with regard to what he sells on his company?
Yeah, you know, he just had the court case and finished that up, and now he's being real careful. But, you know, some of the people that post say that the stuff that he got busted for is ridiculous. Everybody uses that stuff. It's not dangerous at all.
What was the end result? Did he get punished?
Yeah, I think he got $7,500 fine and 2 years probation.
And is he not allowed to sell that stuff anymore?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, they're clamping down on all that stuff.
Let's talk briefly about Area 52. I mentioned it in regard to the wild horses that died up there, but I'm also working on some stories about what goes on out at that place. The Tonopah Test Range, it's been a facility in place there for a long time, a sister facility to Area 51. What do you think is going on out there now?
Well, the real secret is the facility halfway between Tonopah and Groom Lake, and that's called Sandia. And Sandia was initially constructed between 1980 and 1987. It's a huge, huge underground base that's in what they call Area 19 on the Paiute Mesa. There's a couple of runways there. And there's also a couple of runways, I think, that are called Station 9 out in the flatlands there. And it's just an enormous operation, and they've done a good job keeping it secret. And one of the ways they've kept it secret is because everybody watches the special projects airplanes, you know, the red and white 737s. And, you know, it's kind of hard to shuffle a couple of thousand people into a secret base without anybody knowing it. So what they did is they built these underground high-speed trains that go from Las Vegas to Sandia. And they what they did is they have the entrances, if you can believe this, under two or three of the major hotels. And the workers, they just pull up into guest parking for the hotel, walk in, you know, some nondescript door, There'll be some, you know, elevator that only they have access to, and they go down and they get on this tram or this high-speed train that goes up to Sandia.
Got to tell you, John, I have trouble with that part of it. I have no doubt that they could have underground facilities out there, but the underground train part, I mean, for one thing, if that's true, the people of Las Vegas should really be ticked off because we could use that this train technology to solve some of our woeful traffic problems.
You know, George, since the 60s, the Navy has had a high-speed train system that goes at least nationwide and probably worldwide. And the underground tunnels that we have that people drive daily go thousands of miles. There's so much stuff going underground that nobody has a clue. And when you say you have trouble with this, remember when I brought you the Bob Lazar story, you had trouble with that. And not only that, Bob Lazar had the same problem when I initially started talking about saucers up at Area 51. He said, this is ridiculous. He said, I was at Los Alamos. I had a Q clearance. If that was true, I would have known it. And that's the exact words that Bob Lazar told me. And then, you know, 4 or 5 months later, you know, one thing led to another. He came up to my house, sat in the chair, and he said, John, he said, I saw a disc today. And I said, theirs or ours? He said, theirs. And I said, well, what are you doing here? And he said, because you've taken so much crap over this, I wanted to tell you it's true.
One more question about Tonopah, though, is what is it that they're doing out there? They've got these underground facilities, and they're secretly flying in employees. What are they working on?
You know, I don't know exactly. I think that may be where NORAD is moving. So, you know, I don't know exactly what they're doing.
You said they've got something enough to store thousands or host thousands of troops?
Yeah, they have those five circular facilities, and they were digging those when Bob was here. They go about a mile underground, and each one can hold, I think, 25,000 combat troops and their officers, and there's five of them. And the reason we knew is one of the guys we knew drove the dump truck, and what they do is they'd set off a clean, if you can believe it, clean nuclear bomb to make the original hole. Then they'd tunnel down there, and they'd head this road on the side of this huge hole, and they take the concrete down there and start building this entire facility. And there's five of those, and that's separate from the Sandia part.
Years ago, before the world knew about the stealth fighter, you and Jim Goodall and John Andrews used to go up to Tonopah, sit around outside the fence, pull out your lawn chair, and watch for it, because you know, the people of Tonopah have been seeing these things flying in the sky for a long time. They kept their mouths shut. You guys found out about it, and you saw them, didn't you?
Yeah, we went out there with our lawn chairs and Diet Pepsi, and it was usually at sunset because they didn't fly during the day. And once the security guards came up and they said, hey, you guys can't be there. And we said, sure we can. This is BLM land. And the guards would come over and say, well, now, wait a minute. We'll have to see some ID. And so we showed him our ID, and I heard him talking to his little radio phone there, and he said, it's okay. It's only Lear and Goodall.
But, I mean, it shows that secrets can and are kept.
Absolutely, positively. I mean, there are so many secrets. It's just really interesting.
I want to ask you about one other subject, if we have time to get into this. It's about torture planes. John, you flew for the CIA. You know how it works. You've read the same news accounts about torture. There's a movie that opened up this weekend called Rendition, you know, in which these private shell companies are used by the CIA and other intelligence agencies. They go and snatch people up off the suspected terrorists up off the street, take them to hidden prisons, torture them. What do you make of that?
Well, I don't doubt it at all. You know, I've been out of the business for, you know, I've been out of flying for 7 years, and I haven't done anything for the agency since 1983. But, you know, that stuff goes on.
Just the idea of America being the nation of the good guys, does it bother you? Or you think there's practical uses for that?
No, there's no practical uses. The whole war on terrorism is a scam. It never happened. Never, you know, it was all stuff that we did to ourselves. It doesn't exist. It's a perpetuation of the original report in 1960, the report from Iron Mountain that the economy can only be sustained on a wartime basis. And so we have to create wars, and that's the only reason we did this.
Wow, that's a lot to chew on there. We'll have to have you back, and we can get into that and some more. So start digging up some more conspiracies, John. We'll have you on again in a couple of months.
Okay, thanks, George.
All right, thank you. We'll be coming back. We'll be joined by British author Tim Good. Talk about UFOs, government secrets, conspiracies. Stick around. I'm George Knapp. This is Coast to Coast AM.